Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Hey, look at that. You made it through the week. It's already Friday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so be on the lookout for a new one of those popping up tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and find that link and get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, yeah, you know, Dan, my lineup didn't – I didn't think my lineup did fantastic last night. I scored just a shade over 129 points, but I was in the right league and I got my money back. So that was kind of a positive for me. You know, I will take that and just – no, I got into that. I get in those goofy mini leagues they have. They have all kinds of goofy names for them. And I just happened to be in the right one. I mean, there wasn't nobody had a bunch of high scores, so it worked out for me. I don't expect that to happen too often, but I will definitely take that. So we move on today, and it a little difficult finding pitching because I didn't know how many innings you were going to get out of a guy. You know, I mean, the playoff teams are obviously getting set to move in with just about everything locked up. So I wanted to hunt down a pitcher who was pitching in a game that meant something. And basically the only guy I could come up with, because God forbid I didn't want to use anybody pitching in Colorado, was Chase Anderson of the Brewers. So I spent $8,300 on him. They're on the road in St. Louis. Milwaukee has to win out to have any chance. And I believe Colorado has to lose out. So there's really not much of a shot for them getting that second wild card. But as of right now, they're still playing for something, so that's where I went. Catcher, I spent $2,800 on JT Realmuto, who's in cleanup for the Marlins tonight. First base, I have another cleanup hitter. I'm going with Chris Davis of the Orioles tonight. I don't think I've actually used him very much, but I'm hoping maybe I can get lucky and get a long ball out of him. If I get really lucky, maybe I'll get two. He cost me $3,500. While I didn't want any pitchers in the Colorado Dodgers games, I have no problem taking the hitters. I'm going with DJ LeMahieu at second base for $3,800. He's hitting second for the Rockies. Third base, I got Jake Lamb of the Diamondbacks for $3,600. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. My shortstop is Corey Seager of the Dodgers. He hits second for them tonight. He cost me $4,100. My outfield starts off with Marwin Gonzalez of the Astros. The Astros have been the hottest team in baseball, swinging the bat, so I figured I better get at least one of them in my lineup. He's hitting fifth tonight for them, cost me $3,400. Then I went with Nomar Mazara of the Rangers for $2,800. He's hitting fourth tonight. And my lineup wraps up with Nicky Delmonico of the White Sox for $2,700. He's hitting cleanup for them tonight. Oddly, it seems on the night I don't use Delmonico, he homers, and the nights I use him, he takes an over, so we'll see how it goes tonight. But that's what I got rolling out there. The quick recap, I'm going with Chase Anderson on the mound, JT Realmuto as my catcher, Chris Davis, that's the Orioles' Chris Davis at first base, DJ LeMahieu at second, Jake Lamb at third, Corey Seager at short, and my outfield is Marwin Gonzalez, Nomar Mazara, and Nicky Delmonico. This, of course, is for the 605 Main League on FanDuel, and you have just a shade over 30 minutes to get your lineup in and get it all set and taken care of. So there you go. Good luck. Hopefully you can pick up some cash tonight on Friday as we're running slowly but surely running out of regular season games. But we did end up, we had a couple afternoon games today. And if you happen to play, I didn't see if they had one or not. I didn't check early enough to know. But if you did get in an early game and you used Masahiro Tanaka as your starter, boy, man, he racked up some points for you. I think he went 7 innings and struck out 15 guys. The Yankees ended up shutting out the Blue Jays 4-0. Tanaka got the win. Chapman came in and got a save. It was actually his 21st. And Joe Biagini took the loss. The other game, the Cubs made a nice comeback and got a win over the Reds 5-4. I believe, if I remember Stu correctly, said Ian Happ hit a 3-run homer to give them the lead. Brian Dunsing took the win. Yeah, he got the win. Justin Grimm actually picked up the save. That's his first one of the year. And Michael Lorenzen suffered the loss for the Reds. So those were the two afternoon games. You could have put together a decent FanDuel rep if you'd used Tanaka and Hop and, I'm sure there were a couple other guys. I remember seeing it, but I don't remember if anybody homered in the Yankee game. So there definitely were some options you could have had. But, like I mentioned, Dan, there's a couple things still undecided. The Brewers are still eligible to pick up that second wild card in the NL. And believe it or not, the Yankees can still win the AL East. Now, obviously, these are huge long shots. The Red Sox have to lose all 3 games to the Astros this weekend. And then, of course, the Rockies have to lose while the Yankees win all their games. And then the Rockies have to lose all their games to the Dodgers while the Brewers sweep the Cardinals. Do you see either of these things happening, or maybe what do you think, which one, I guess, do you think could happen over the other?
Maybe the Brewers, with the Rockies going up against the Dodgers.
Yeah. Now, I guess the big question is, do you think the Dodgers will feel the team, I guess, is the best way to look at it? I know tonight I believe their lineup is pretty normal. I want to double check. I want to pull it up here before I stick my foot in my mouth. They are going with Hinju Ryu tonight as their starter, and I believe I heard the last time he pitched in Colorado, he gave up 10 runs in an extremely short outing. So that may be an issue. But, yeah, looking at the Dodger lineup, yeah, it is pretty, pretty normal. It's Granderson, Seager, Turner, Bellinger, Puig, Ethier, Grandal, Forsyth, and then obviously Ryu in the 9 spot because Madden doesn't manage this team. But do you think as the weekend goes on, they try to work a little rest in for those guys?
No, I don't see why you would. I mean, you're pretty much on the cusp of World Series bound. I don't really see the need.
Because they do have, it's actually Clayton Kershaw's day to start tomorrow. I can't see him going more than maybe 5 innings unless his pitch count is real low. And then the Dodgers have already announced that they're going to start Ross Stripling on Sunday. I don't believe he may not have even made a start this year. So, maybe Sunday's the day they're just kind of be like, well, okay, we'll run these guys out there and do whatever.
I think Sunday might be the day, yeah.
Well,
I still think the Brewers.
Yeah, and to be fair, the Dodgers don't owe the Brewers anything. Don't get me wrong. They have no right to have to go out and try to do, whatever they need. I mean, they can run out whoever they damn well please. It's completely up to them. They earned the right by winning, what was it? They're over 100 games now. So if they want to rest guys or they want Kershaw to pitch, 3 innings or only throw so many pitches, they've earned that right. It's actually 102 wins going into tonight's game. So I have no issue. Like I said, they don't owe Milwaukee any favors. Tonight they're fielding what would be considered a competitive lineup. I think with Kershaw on the mound tomorrow, they'll field a competitive lineup. But we'll see what they do Sunday behind Stripling. I mean, again, it's their decision, right? I mean, you don't have an issue if they decide to sit the regulars on Sunday?
Oh, no, I mean, the record was 114 games by your team. And
yeah,
there's obviously no way they're going to get that. So you've secured your spot. There's no reason.
Yeah, and what good did all those wins do? They got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. So, you know, that's, you know, all that stuff, like they say, gets thrown out, and, you know, it doesn't really matter. Now, you don't see any, now, oddly, what it looks like here is it looks like the Astros are going to draw the Red Sox in the first round of the playoffs. Houston is just a game behind Cleveland for the best record, so that could still possibly change. Does the series mean a little more with the possibility of them meeting in the ALDS?
Boston and Houston? Well, yeah, I mean, you're going to have that hype behind the media, being that East Coast team, Boston that is, and, you know, they've been there before. They've done it. Maybe not all the guys on the team, but I think it would be the proving ground for the Astros if they're able to topple the Red Sox.
Yeah, because, you know, I guess my question with Boston more and more becomes, obviously, Chris Sale is pitching game one no matter what, no matter against who. It's going to be Chris Sale. But who's number two? You know, David Price is in the bullpen, so he's probably not stretched out. I mean, are you looking at Rick Porcello, who's really had a horrible year after being, you know, the AL Cy Young Award winner? You know, Drew Pomeranz has been decent, but, man, he got crushed. I think it was two nights ago. Mm-hmm. You know, Doug Fister has pitched, you know, a little bit over his head. He's going tonight. Maybe if he shows something, you know, he could be the guy. And then, you know, number five is Eduardo Rodriguez, who I honestly don't think could handle the stage if they plugged him in there. But, yeah, you know, looking at these numbers, you know, Porcello is 11-17 on a team that's won 90-plus games. His ERA is 4.65. I don't know if you want to run that out there. Pomeranz is 16-6 with a 3.38 ERA. And then Rodriguez has only made 24 starts this year. He's 6-7 with a 4.19 ERA. Fister's made 14 starts, and he's 5-8 with a 4.87 ERA. Again, he has been much better as of late, but, you know, besides Sale, how much confidence do you have in another one of these guys going out there?
Yeah, I would say only Fister.
Got it. When I knew Porcello was bad, I didn't realize he was that bad this year. So, God, that's horrible. After, I think he put up 22 wins last year. You know, about the only good thing you can say about him is he's made all his starts. He's made 33 starts. But I assume he gets logged into game three. Maybe he's the third starter. I guess, and this kind of brings me back to this, did they make a mistake, Dan, by not stretching Price out and having him ready to start in the playoffs?
I want to say yes, but at the same time, his performance in the playoffs has proven that maybe he can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, to be fair, he has been a major choke artist in the playoffs, oddly, except out of the bullpen. So, you know, maybe that's kind of the best thing for them. I just, you know, out of all the teams, I mean, you know, obviously they've had a really, really good year. You know, hopefully they're going to, you know, it looks like they'll hang on and win the division. You know, they got 92 wins, but, man, I mean, that's just kind of scary. I mean, you figure they go in, you know, the Astros are going to run either Dallas Keuchel or Justin Verlander at game one. you know, either one of them could go out and match Sale. You know, if say you lose game one, you know, 2-1 or 3-2, you didn't get what you needed out of Sale. The Red Sox could easily get swept out of the playoffs. I believe they got swept out by the Indians last year. Houston could easily do the exact same thing to them, couldn't they?
Well, to be honest, I mean, you know, you threw out there it's Houston versus the Dodgers or the Red Sox, and, you know, I immediately lean towards the Reds. I think I've been, you know, kind of slightly brainwashed, but when you throw those pitchers up there, I mean, game one, I think, goes to the Red Sox, but after that, I mean, it's very conceivable that the Astros can sweep them.
Yeah, and yeah, I do find it humorous that everybody is just completely discounting the Minnesota Twins. Remember, they are in the playoffs, people. You know, you never know. I mean, they'll probably, I'm assuming Irvin Santana starts game one. You know, he's had a very good year for them. You know, they're getting Miguel Sano back just in time to get three games of at bats in time to be ready for the playoffs. You know, that's a big deal. I mean, he's a legitimate threat in the middle of that lineup. You know, he can take anybody out, but you know, I mean, yeah, you go to Santana. I mean, here's a guy who's got 16 wins. I believe he leads baseball in complete games and his ERA is 3.28. So, you know, he could shut a team down in a playoff game, couldn't he?
I think so. I mean, I was going to ask you, were you as surprised as I was when you kind of looked up the final standings and to see Minnesota in there?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, anybody who tells you they had the Twins going to the playoffs this year is lying to you, because they lost over 100 games last year. You know, there were questions on, you know, I believe most people thought it would be between the Twins and the White Sox to finish last in that division. I know this is the first time ever a team has turned around from 100 losses to getting into the playoffs. So it's a huge deal that, you know, they made this move and they were able to do it. And it's again, you know, the odd thing is they traded their closer and then they went out and got Jaime Garcia only to use him one time and turn around and trade him because they thought they were out of it. So, you know, it's just, they're using Matt Belisle as their closer, who's a journeyman reliever. You know, they're another rotation. I mean, behind Santana, there's really nothing, you know, unless Bartolo Colon can pull something out of somewhere, you know, but, you know, Santana's a threat. So, you know, I know everybody thinks if they face the Yankees, it's just kind of like, oh, yeah, the Twins are going to go into New York and they're just going to get, you know, wasted and it's not even going to be a game. But, you know, I'm not as sold on that as I think a lot of people are. I mean, I think the Yankees would win the game, but, I don't think it's going to be there. You know, like people are talking like it's going to be a blowout like the Packers beating up on the Bears last night. So...
Yeah, well, let's not get into how Trubisky would save the team.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a little bit. I got a couple more baseball things I need to throw at you because I need your opinion on it. The first one, of course, the Cubs have now announced that Jake Arrieta is not available until the earliest Game 3 of the NLDS because his hamstring apparently has acted up. I got to tell you, Dan, if I pitched as poorly as he did in his last outing, I would probably have a hamstring issue too. Is this just the Cubs' way of trying to, I don't know, almost get him out of the rotation for the NLDS? Because they've got to make a tough decision, so the injury kind of does that to him. Or do you believe he's got a legitimate injury?
I think it's a combo of both. You know, it takes the pressure off of them having to decide who to go with in the one and two spot. Because, I mean, it's painfully obvious who it should be. But no one wants to admit that. Especially a guy who's working with Scott Boras.
Yeah. You know, yeah, well, you know, it's always, and for some reason, I don't understand why people just don't admit it, that Kyle Hendricks has been the Cubs' best pitcher, best starter down the stretch. You know, John Lester's been horrible, except for his last outing, he was decent. Arrieta's been a joke. Quintana hasn't proved anything, you know, and the more you look at that deal, it looks like if any of the players they traded turn out to be anything, they gave up way too much for them. You know, Lackey is Lackey. You don't know if you're going to get the good Lackey or the bad Lackey, while Hendricks is consistent. And I don't know how many more experts have to compare him to Greg Maddux before people realize this guy is actually a quality starting pitcher. But apparently the Cubs don't. You know, do you plug Hendricks into the two spot? Or, well, I guess you should say, do you think Joe Maddon plugs Hendricks into the game two? Or do you see him going with a Quintana or a Lackey in that spot?
You made my you made it kind of difficult and easy at the same time. I think he goes with Quintana.
And I was telling Schaumburg too this. I said, you know, the Cubs have to be really careful because, you know, their offense, you know, does have a tendency to go to sleep at times. And if they go to sleep against Scherzer and Strasburg, they're going to be coming back to Wrigley down 0-2. So maybe Hendricks is in the best position in game three to try to save their rear end, because Washington's going to have the advantage in the pitching matchup the first two games. You know, is that how you would set it up then? You know, Hendricks 3 and Lackey 4, or do you try to bring Arrieta back for game 3 if he's healthy?
That's a rough one. I mean, I would go Lester, Hendricks, Q, and then, you know, Lackey or Arrieta. But then again,
yeah, and then just
you know, with them being on the road, maybe you're better off going with Quintana and the number two spot and having Hendricks start at home. But I forget the splits on these guys.
Yeah, I'm sure they have all the splits and all that fun stuff they need to, you know, kind of look at it and check it out. But and then, you know, just the last bit of, you know, baseball news real quick today. The Phillies, who were a bit of a surprise last year, let's face it, have really stunk this year. They're 64-95 going into the final weekend of the season here. It was reported today that Pete Maccannon will be back with the organization, but he will not be the manager next season. He is being moved to that wonderful title, Dan, that we've heard quite a bit here in Chicago, special assistant to the general manager. Again, I don't know what any of these guys do, but the Cubs have quite a few of them. So we'll have to see how that works out. But yeah, so we'll have a new Philly. So right now we've got the Tigers and the Phillies as open jobs. So we'll see how that works out. But
how do you apply for
all that? Right, Dan. Yeah. Which one do you want? The Tigers job or the Phillies job? So
you know, one thing before we move on, you know, I was looking at our picks and, you know, we're all usually pretty good. We've all pegged the first place winners, except I went with the Mets, and then all you guys went with the Giants, and then you went with the Mariners, and Mr. Fantasy went with the Rangers. But not a single one of us picked a wild card team.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's, I mean, I, obviously that's, none of us had the Twins. That doesn't shock me at all. So I am a little surprised nobody had the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. I mean, not a single one of us picked a wild card, so that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, we'll have to make some time Monday and go over that and kind of compare how we did and stuff. But I'd like to start out, Dan. I know I thanked him on Twitter earlier, but I would really like to thank Mr. Fantasy for being a dumbass and changing his pick last night before kickoff. He called, I told you he called me while we were right before the podcast yesterday, and I didn't answer because I was getting ready to come on and do this with you. So I called him back after we were done, and he hemmed and hawed a little bit, and sure enough, he fell hook, line, and sinker for how the Bears played last week, and he was convinced their running game was going to dominate, and he switched his pick. I know I announced that we had all taken the Packers on the air, but he decided to go out and make a change and went with the Bears. So I would very much like to thank him for allowing us to get a game lead on him heading into the week, because that was an incredibly stupid pick. He really let his fandom get in the way there. But yeah, that was pretty much an embarrassment last night. You know, I mean, you can say what you want about, oh yeah, well, they scored twice. Yeah, whoopee. They got beat by 3 touchdowns and they were never in the game. It was 14-0 before you blinked. So I don't want to hear your crap, you know, any of the crap about this and that, or how, Mitchell Trubisky would have saved them. The new thing now, Dan, is apparently it's his nickname now is Bisky. So everybody keeps saying it's time for Bisky, which is bad for a fat guy like me, because I keep thinking they're saying it's time for biscuits, which I would be really happy with. But, yeah, you know, all in all, I mean, good teams do this to bad teams. So I don't know what Mr. Fantasy was expecting, but, hey, the Bears got a whooping, 35-14. No surprise here.
No, they look bad.
So,
Glennon looked great in the 2-minute offense.
Yeah, oddly, nobody said that. I didn't hear anybody say that. All they kept talking about was how bad he was. And oddly, you know, you look at his numbers, and he was 21-33. So, you know, his percentage is decent. He threw a TD. Obviously, the 2 picks kill you. But he was only sacked 1 time, and it was really weird because I heard somebody complaining about his mobility. And now, obviously, you know, I don't get to see all the Thursday night games because of my work situation. So I assume maybe he was running for his life and the Packers were teeing up on him. And I was like, they got 1 sack. And now, you know, Dan, the one thing you haven't really pointed out, Mike Glennon is throwing to Kendall Wright, who I believe is a washed-up first-round pick, Deontay Thompson, and Josh Bellamy, who I think are free, who were free agents. They were never drafted. If they were, they were drafted very late by teams and then cut and found their way to Chicago. There's pretty much almost no quarterback in the NFL that is going to win with this group of wide receivers. All right, it's just borderline that simple. You need talent at the wide receiver position. Even with Cameron Meredith and Kevin White, if they would have stayed healthy, this would still be the worst wide receiving core in the NFL. All right, there's absolutely nothing on this core that says, oh yeah, I can help my quarterback. And, you know, I've said it before, the quarterback gets too much credit when they win and too much blame than when they lose. Start looking around at the other pieces before you start crying for Trubisky to get in there, because he's going to need help, and there's just nothing on this offense.
Yeah, but as a diehard told me today, you don't need all that greatness surrounding you. Just take a look at Brady.
Brady has top-quality receivers surrounding him. Julian Edelman is a fantastic receiver. Obviously, Gronkowski is the best tight end in the game. And, you know, he's got the other guys. You know, they just traded for a number one receiver in Brandon Cooks. They go out and get Brady weapons. You want to compare weapons with the Bears? Yeah. You know, Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback in part because he has great weapons. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devonta Adams when he's not getting his head taken off. And by the way, Dan, I was close with Martellus Bennett. He had 6 catches last night. I thought he had an opportunity to get to double digits. He ended up with 6, more than anybody else in the game. So, yeah, you run into these diehard fans, there's a lot of stupidity involved. And that's the only clear way I can say it. You know, they get caught up in their fandom. And once you're on the bandwagon of blaming a guy, it's always this guy's fault. I can take you back to Starlin Castro with the Cubs. doesn't seem to be having the same problems with the Yankees. He would sure look good plugged in every day as the second baseman over Ben Zobrist or the assortment of, you know, goofs Joe Maddon has run out there. But, you know, they got the idea that he was the problem, and the fans turned on him and ran him out of town. You know, while Glennon isn't – he's not a star quarterback. That's just not his thing. He's probably – a solid backup on just about any other team in the NFL except this one. But, you know, again, whose fault is that? The Bears signed him at number one money thinking he was a starter. You know, you're killing the guy. I mean, everybody would have taken that money with a chance to start. So I just find it humorous that you drink whatever the media is feeding you. And now what happens if Trubisky goes in and sucks? Is it Mark Sanchez time, Dan? Woohoo!
Well, yeah, I mean, the guy who I was kind of going back and forth with, I wish I was friends with him because it was through a friend's post. So I would have remembered what his comment was when Trubisky was drafted, because I highly doubt it was excited, full of excitement. And, you know, we've got the next guy to see. But you'll love this. So amongst, you know, the comments between it, well, you know, the Bears should have saved all their money and re-signed Alshon Jeffries instead of putting it on to Mitchell Trubisky, because now they're up for so many millions of dollars. You know, it's the NFL and contracts aren't guaranteed. So basically Mitchell Trubisky is guaranteed for this season, and he gets a guarantee of $2.5 million for next year, which, you know, if you even have him still on the team, it's whatever, because they could just cut him and not have to pay him.
Yeah, you know, the way the guys make their money is the signing bonus, because obviously, you know, you have to, you have to pay them the signing bonus, so... That's just one of those fun things you get to deal with. But yeah, you know, and that's like the funny thing, you know, that's where the Bears shafted those, the fan, you know, the team and everything with Jay Cutler, because they had a lot of guaranteed money there, so they couldn't get rid of Cutler. And you know, no matter how much everybody cried, there was just nothing they could do, because it was like, right, you know, they wouldn't have been able to sign a quarterback, and your quarterback would have been, I'm trying to remember his name, I want to say his first name was David. But yeah, he was just a third string kind of guy they took a chance with, hoping he would develop, you know, and it was just like, oh, okay. So you want me to cut this guy and not have an actual starting quarterback? Yeah, thank you. That's incredibly intelligent. Now, they didn't make that mistake with Mike Glennon. You know, they just took care of, you know, whatever they had going on with him. So come next year, he can go. They can ship him off and, you know, the biscuit can take over and be the starter. And, you know, we can go on and win a Super Bowl.
Just one?
Well, one to start with, you know.
Oh,
so, because, you know, it's in the NFL, you know, I mean, the difficult part will be, you know, will they be able to re-sign him when he's a free agent so they can go on? Because, you know, you figure after he leads them to, what, three, well, it'll probably be four Super Bowls in 5 years, because I think he's on a five-year deal as a first-round draft pick. It might be a little tough for the Bears to re-sign him. So, you know, you've got to be careful there.
Yeah. Well, and I laugh because I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, you're a football guy, you're a Bears guy, but you would have rather they shifted the money to Jeffries, who has a touchdown this season, which is one so far, and about 100 yards. So he's really making a difference over there in Philly. Huge difference.
Yeah. You know, and like Alshon Jeffries is a fantastic receiver if you have somebody else support. Right. I mean, remember how great he was when Brandon Marshall was here and producing? You know, then he was fantastic. When he was the number one guy, he had a difficult time staying healthy and didn't really prove that he was a number one receiver. You know, even on the free agent market, he got 1 year from Philadelphia. He didn't go out and get a big, huge money deal from anybody. He got 1 year. So, you know, it's not like everybody else bought into, you know, his deal. So, but they did have today, Dan, at the John Fox press conference. He said that he didn't rule out making a quarterback change. So maybe everybody will get their wish and we'll see the, you know, we'll see Bisky against the Vikings on Monday Night Football and watch him get his ass handed to him, because the Vikings will just eat him up. So that will be another blowout loss for the Bears. But maybe we'll get lucky and Mr. Fantasy will be stupid enough to take him again. Do you think we could get it 2 weeks in a row and we could pick up another game on him? There's a reason he's in last place in the picks, folks, okay? So.
Well, you know, I mean, I was thinking that he was going to go with the Packers and we were all going to lose. But when I...
Yeah, well, that helped us out.
When I got home. Yeah, I mean, I had to... My wife, of course, made me do some more running around last night. Just love doing that right after dinner, you know, 7 o'clock, 7:30 at night. But you know, sadly I did not miss too much except for the super duper bright and exuberant color rush jerseys that the
Packers favorite thing about Thursday night football.
Yeah. I mean, I know you're not a fan of these to begin with, but did they even try last night?
Try to do what? I mean, wear the jerseys?
I mean, it just looked like regular jerseys. It didn't look like anything special.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, I don't mind that Packer white that they wore. That doesn't bother me. You know, it's when you get just the odd colors. I mean, I even hate when, like, the Seahawks are on and they wear the – it's almost neon green that they – yeah, it just kind of freaks me out. So, you know, but yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. Well, you know, like I watched it and the Packers went right down the field and scored. So I thought, okay, you know, they got the extra point in the kickoff. I got time to run and use the washroom. I got back out and the Packers were inside the 5-yard line again. I'm like, what in the hell happened? I wasn't gone that long. I was like, okay, so now it's 14-0. All right. How are the Cubs doing? Let's find the remote. So, but, you know, yeah, they did have, you know, the other big, huge uproar, Dan, was the Danny Trevathan hit on Devonta Adams. Were you still watching the game when that happened?
No, sadly the lightning delay ran into bedtime.
Yeah, luckily, you know, Adams is out of the hospital. You know, he actually tweeted that he was at home feeling great. He'll obviously go into the NFL concussion protocol. So we'll see, you know, if he's going to miss a week or something. But, yeah, it was so weird, Dan, because I was listening to a lot of the, not so much the NFL experts or anything like that, but just some of the other talking heads that, you know, host sports talk shows, not in the Chicago area. And, man, they sounded like they wanted Trevathan run out of the league. And it was just like, okay, I get it. It was it was a brutal hit. And it ended up being helmet to helmet. But I don't think that he was targeting his head. I think it was a guy just kind of coming in looking to land a bomb. And Adams was being tackled at the time, and it was just wrong place, wrong time, and Trevathan ended up taking his head off. Because, you know, there's no reputation at all of Trevathan being a dirty player or anything like that. It was just one of those things. And, I mean, it sucked, but it was one of those things.
Okay, well, he didn't come from New Orleans, right?
No, I don't believe so. Actually, I think he came from Denver with John Fox.
Yeah.
So.
Well, only place they get guys, Denver.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, for the while when the Cubs only signed former Red Sox. It's kind of humorous how Chicago teams do that, isn't it? But, yeah, I, you know, the weird thing, Dan, is, you know, I don't know, not too long ago, you know, they would have been out there celebrating this hit. You know, these are the kind of things that, you know, put football on the map. But, you know, now obviously with safety and concussions and, you know, all the things everybody's worried about now, you know, this is a big deal. And I mean, it, you know, I've seen the highlight of it a couple times and man, it was just, he just blew the guy up and it was like, wow, that was just, ouch. you know, and I'm glad Adams is okay, but yeah, it was ugly looking.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've joked around about it over the last couple of years, but, you know, it turning into adding another X and making it flag football. And now, of course, with a lot of the political issues going on, you've got the people who are, you know, boycotting it that because they don't agree with what the guys are doing. They're like, well, the NFL is going to go away anyways. I mean, are you really buying that? I mean, this is a billion-dollar industry now? I mean, do you really see this sport disappearing, you know, being about, you know, what's like the hit that happened last night?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't understand why they're thinking it's going to go away. I mean, they continue to evolve. You know, they're doing more and more stuff to make the game safer. You know, they're finding ways, you know, all the time. And I mean, it's always going to be a violent game, but you know, is it really any more violent than hockey?
No. And that's a little rougher, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so I mean, it's just kind of, you know, one of those things you have to, and I get it. Football gets all the focus because while hockey is a big four sport, it's the very, very distant redheaded stepchild of, you know, the other three sports. So it just kind of works out that way. You know, they don't pay as much attention to it unless something bad happens, then, you know, everybody's all over it. Like they're the biggest hockey fans in the world. So yeah, it's, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, you can get hurt in any sport, you know, it doesn't matter which one. I mean, we've seen guys take, you know, pitches to the head in baseball this year, you know, I mean, it's just part of playing the game. Obviously you don't want anybody to be seriously injured. But yeah, I was kind of overwhelmed by the reaction, you know, and I mean, yeah, it sucked. Yeah, it was illegal. You know, these are the hits the NFL is trying to get out of the game, but you know, it happened. And then everybody was upset because he wasn't ejected. You know, because the NFL has adjusted the rule where players can now be thrown out. So everybody was on the refs about, well, they didn't, God, I can't believe they didn't throw him out after that. And it was like, shut up. That's like, geez, watch the highlight. Does it look like he's trying to take his head off? I mean, it just looks like a guy's trying to lay a hard in on a guy. So, you know, and I mean, obviously Trevathan will pay the price. He'll get a hefty fine, and he's probably going to get a minimum a game. Maybe he'll get more. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Just the fun stuff, right?
Yeah, that's why you love the game.
Yes. So, but, you know, I am much more confident now that the Bears are back on track to only win, you know, three games after last night, so.
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping to get a free pizza. But...
Yeah, I feel a little safer, you know, with that now, so. We'll have to see. I wouldn't expect much Monday night against Minnesota. Even if Sam Bradford doesn't play, I wouldn't expect much there. So, you know, Minnesota has enough weapons with probably just Dalvin Cook and the way they've been running him. But we'll worry about that next week and see how it kind of goes. I did find it interesting, Dan. I haven't had a chance to watch the video yet, but apparently – the Las Vegas police released the video of the incident with Michael Bennett. Remember, he went on, I don't remember if it was Twitter or what social media platform he went on and talked about the way they treated him and, you know, how he was actually in fear for his life. But the reports that are coming out now say there's no evidence that the officers used any type of excessive force. So I'm interested to see if the, you know, I can find the video somewhere and if I can kind of get a look at it for myself. But, you know, because obviously Bennett is an African-American, so he went on and, you know, he claimed it was racial profiling. You know, so, yeah, I'm interested to see the actual police video they released and kind of see how the stories match up. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of odd, you know, when you know, the story's being so different, but I guess that's nothing new in these incidents, is it?
No, I mean, I've heard some rumors, but I don't want to throw anything out there because I don't want to be accused of being a racist.
Yeah.
So you know how quickly that
yeah,
can
I
happen.
Just, yeah, oh yeah, it doesn't take long. And again, you know, I don't know. You know, I haven't seen either or, you know, I mean, I heard his side of the story. This is now the, you know, the police's side of the story. So, you know, hopefully I'll, you know, be able to run down the video and get a better look at it. But, I actually didn't realize they were going to be releasing the video. So I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, and then, you know, it's always nice to get these, you know, the feel-good stories, Dan. So we had one yesterday. If you don't like Deshaun Watson, you probably should start liking him now. I don't know if you saw this story or not, Dan, but he took his first game check and gave it to three cafeteria employees of the Houston Texans that were affected by Hurricane Harvey to help them out. So... you know, that I thought that was pretty cool on his part. And, you know, maybe more players should start doing stuff like that instead of just kind of talking about it and kneeling down for the anthem. So.
Well now they lock arms to show unity.
Yeah.
For...
you know, maybe those are the kind of things that players should be doing instead of, you know, maybe really making a difference instead of just trying to make a statement. You know, would that be something possible that we could see? I doubt it, but, you know, who knows?
At least someone's, you know, putting their money where their mouth is. You're not even that, but just helping out.
Yeah, it was just really cool of them. You know, when I saw that, I thought, oh, that was you know, that was really, you know, definitely really nice of him. You know, I mean, no reason he had to do it. So, but yeah, he, you know, he went out of his way to do it. And, you know, and obviously, you know, J.J. Watt raised millions of dollars, you know, when they needed it. So, you know, there are good guys out there. You know, there really are. You know, it's just, again, we kind of get bogged down. You know, like I'm looking at the headlines and... you know, they're talking about the Trevathan hit. They're talking about the police releasing the Bennett video. and nowhere on there is Deshaun Watson giving money to people. You know, then there's stuff like Odell Beckham being fined for acting like a dog, which I thought was really strange, but hey, whatever works for him, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of like these things get buried as, you know, thing we move along here. And it's like, well, you know, I guess we got to find a way to, you know, to maybe make them stick around a little longer or accentuate the positive a little better. I don't know. Maybe it's our fault, man.
Mine and yours?
Sure. We might as well be part of the problem, right? Yeah. What is it if you're not part of the problem? You're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. So I'm sure we're part of the problem, you know. So, but, you know, in some news, Dan, if you need to borrow money, you may want to give your buddy Russell Westbrook a call, because he just signed a $205 million deal to stay with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Well, at first I thought you said Russell Wilson, then I realized you said Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so he's going to be paid quite well for the next few years. So they'll have, you know, Westbrook and Carmelo for at least the next couple years. I think Carmelo is signed for next season. I don't know. You know, do you think maybe if they have a solid season, do you think maybe Paul George would stick around?
I think it's possible. I mean, depends on what, you know, the King and the Balls do.
Yes. So, yeah, now, you know, I think, you know, and, you know, we haven't even started this year's NBA season, but I'm already thinking about next year's. You know, I think a lot of that off season is going to be guys sitting around waiting to see what LeBron does before they do anything. Do you think that's going to kind of shake out like that?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I was saying, I think the, you know, the next offseason, you know, I'm already past this year, so I gave up on it already. But next offseason, do you think the free agents are going to be sitting around waiting to see what LeBron does before they make any kind of moves?
Well, I think so. I mean, he should be the first one to make a move, shouldn't he?
Yeah, you know, I just kind of wonder, you know, how they're going to do it.
You know, or is he going to keep them kind of like he did to Riley in the Heat?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of under the impression, you know, he's going to wait it out. And that's what I'm kind of wondering, how it's going to go for teams, because you know, I got a feeling he's just going to sit around and just be kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, I'll sign, you know. He already knows where he's going to go. You know, I think we're all pretty sure he's going to go to L.A. I wonder if Dwayne Wade goes with him next year. Oh, well, we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, you know, I mean, he could just kind of kick back and be like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, while these other guys have to decide. So here you go, Dan. I found this quote from Dwayne Wade. He said that him and LeBron are like peanut butter and jelly. They just go together.
It would have been funnier if he said peanut butter and ladies.
Yes. So, or peanut butter and banana, so they could be like Elvis?
Yeah, well, I was going with... that Will Ferrell movie about the car races, Talladega Nights.
Yes, Ricky Bobby. So,
yeah.
You know, the wonderful fun racing stuff that, trying to figure out, have there been, what's the, what is the best auto racing movie in your opinion? Is it Days of Thunder?
No,
do they have a lot of auto
one.
Racing movies? Yeah. So
well, there's the one where the guy goes back into the future or in the past. Or with the car accident, and then he travels back to the past.
thinking. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank though. So, you know, I know they had the, you know, they're obviously, you know, there's a lot of odd ones. So we'll have to see what we can come up with. I don't know. Does the Fast and Furious count as racing movies? Can we count those?
No.
No. Okay. Well, I was reaching there a little bit. I thought maybe we could, we could land on something there, but you know, I tried to pull up the one I was thinking of was Rush. I believe it was called. They did the take on open wheel racing, though it wasn't NASCAR there. I think there's very few NASCAR movies. You know, when you actually try to think about it. So, I'm racking my brain right now, Dan, trying to figure some out, and I'm just coming up. You know, I mean, like I know there's a lot of stuff with like race in the title, but I don't know if they qualify. You know, like Death Race doesn't really qualify to me as a racing movie. And while I loved Cannonball Run, it's not exactly a racing movie. You know, I know there is Grand Prix with Steve McQueen, which is a fantastic movie if you like the older movies. But yeah, I just kind of drawing a blank there. And I know we haven't talked much NASCAR this year, but you know, they are in the playoffs. You know, things are moving along. I think your guy Clint Boyer was in the playoffs to start. I don't know if they've had an elimination yet. But I believe he got in on points this year. So he had a really nice comeback season with Stewart Haas Racing.
Team.
Yeah, you know, better team, a little better equipment. Yeah, you know, better team, better equipment. And, you know, he did a little better. So that was that was good. Yeah, that was good for him. Nice to see. You know, he's definitely always a fun guy when they interview him and stuff. So, you know, that's a positive. But I think right now, was it still Martin Truex leading? Yeah, it looks like Martin Truex is leading the playoff standings. Kyle Larson, it's Truex, Kyle Larson, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, and Denny Hamlin are the top five. So they got that going on. And then this Sunday they're in Dover. So you can check that out if you're, you know, not watching football or however you got going on. And I thought Martin Truex actually won the pole for it. So he's really rolling this year, Dan. He's having a great year. It's going to be, you know, the way he's going, if it's going to be enough to win a title or somebody will sneak up on him and, you know, get past him in one of these playoff rounds. But you know, man, he's been really good. I think I haven't watched as much as I used to, but it seems like every time I've got a NASCAR race on, he's either at the front of the pack or, you know, he's right there in the top 10. So it's been a really good year for him in the 78. Oh, all right. Well, Dan and I are going to go start our weekend, but hey, don't worry. I'm coming back at 10 a.m. Sunday morning with Mr. Fantasy, so we can make some more fun of him for taking the Bears. But you know the deal while Dan and I are gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com, look for that new blog tomorrow morning, follow the link over to the Facebook page, and give that a like, please. Don't forget the Twitter feed. Come on. You know it's at Sportstime Radio. You can find Dan and I out on Twitter as well. But hey, as always, we appreciate you coming out and listening to us live. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.
Sportstime Radio.com.